Hey, Jacob Twell, before we get to the message that was recorded earlier in the week, I wanted to take a few minutes to respond to some of the things that have been going on here in our area, in our region, and in our world. Now, this last week, we saw that the number of deaths from COVID went over 100,000. All of us are living in this kind of surreal time where we go into stores wearing masks and being unsure and being unsettled. And then, of course, this week we saw the tragic, horrifying death of George Floyd, and all of us are trying to make sense of that. Some are protesting, and now we are seeing riots that are, again, making us feel afraid. We're all trying to wrap our mind around this, and we're trying to understand. And I just want to be really, really honest with you that there's a lot about this that I don't know how to process, and I don't know what to think. There have been times this week that I have been sad and just deeply, deeply mourning. There have been other times that I've been afraid. There have been times when I've been angry. There have been times where I've just been numb and just asking myself, what in the world is going on? But the one thing I do know, is that this is a time for prayer. I don't have all the answers. I'm a guy who has not experienced, even considered, so many of the things that people of color live with all the time. So I don't have all the answers, but I do know that this is a time when the people of God need to pray. We've been talking about this as a leadership team. We've been talking about this as our board. And one of our board members has written a prayer that captures so much of the heart of what we want to lift up to God right now as our first step and trying to make sense of going through this season that we are in. And so I want to ask you, church, will you pray with me? As I lift up this prayer, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we lament and grieve the dispirited events of the past 2 weeks in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Our hurting and falling world keeps falling further and hurting more deeply. These are solemn days. We see brokenness and poverty in divided communities. There's violence in neighborhood not far from ours. We are distressed and grieved at the death of George Floyd, and we pray that justice would be swift and that his memory would be honored. Lord, we cry out to you and lament for the deep cultural fissures and the resentments in our cities and our nation. We know our city has made great strides in the civil rights movement led by people like Dr. Martin Luther King. But our country remains affected and afflicted by the sins of racism, attitudes, words, deeds, fears, animosities, misunderstandings, discriminations, divisions, and even violence. And this is sin. Forgive us. We know that too many citizens have died in questionable, escalated law enforcement circumstances. We also know that over the years, too many officers have died in the line of duty. What we see is toxic and polarizing. The turmoil and anger and violence spreading in our cities is overwhelming. We join together now in prayer to lift up those who have lost loved ones. We pray for the healing for the wounded. We pray for those who are frightened, those who have lost livelihood or businesses. We pray for a balm of healing to the anger and fear that has raged at night in the neighborhoods in the cities that are near and familiar to us. We pray, Father, for those in the cities who face injustice, face poverty, for those who have experienced discrimination and false judgment. We pray for our governments, our institutions of justice, law enforcement and first responders, our elected leaders, for wisdom, discernment, and protection. We pray for our churches and their communities that have experienced violence and rioting in the Twin Cities, Ohio, New York, Kentucky, Colorado, and Los Angeles. Help your church to be salt and light in our nation, to be Jesus, and to be people of justice, and to be peacemakers. We pray for those who weep, whether they weep for the danger of being a young black man in these disoriented times, or weep for the danger of being a police officer in these frayed times. Your word teaches us that all life is sacred and bears your image. We are made in the very image and likeness of God. We share all the gifts of life itself. Before we were even born, help us examine our hearts, engage with your word, seek understanding, question our assumptions, listen before we speak. Lead and direct us in your heartfelt expression of anguish and disapproval of racism, racial injustice, prejudice, and discrimination and division. Strengthen our commitment to racial reconciliation and justice, understanding, and harmony. Help us to be the church and address the injury of racial injustice and the challenge of racial reconciliation and harmony in our world and in the church. We pray for your church to work to overcome any remaining policies and practices that perpetuate racial discrimination, injustice, and ignorance. We also reject pessimism and indifference that nothing can be done or nothing needs to be done. Thank you that what is humanly impossible is possible with God, that in Jesus Christ we shall overcome someday. Help us to remember the gospel, that you, Lord, are the great reconciler. In the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, you have reconciled us all to yourself, male and female, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, barbarian and Scythian, to the one body of Christ, the church. You have also given us this ministry of reconciliation in the world as your ambassadors. You have commissioned us to bear witness to your reconciling power by our love for one another and by our community with saints from every tribe, every language, and every people, and every nation. We ask you to hear our prayer now, and we lift this prayer up to you, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Hey, and welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. This week we are continuing our series Better Than Ever, and I want to warn you about a couple spiritual dangers that you might trip into this summer, and so just check it out, and I can't wait to walk through this message with you. Well, happy weekend, church. It's so good to be with you wherever you are. If you're listening in your car, you're sitting in your living room, or you're checking us out online midweek, whether you're on the platform on Sunday morning, whenever it is, I'm so glad that you are here with us at Jacob's Well. I want to just let you know, in all sincerity, that it's just been a long time since I have been excited as I am right now about the Church of Jesus Christ and about our church, Jacob's Well, because a lot of people think right now that churches are closed, that our church is closed. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our church is alive, and there are so many amazing things going on. I'm going to let you know about a lot of them today as we look at a teaching from the book of Acts. And I particularly want you to pay attention because this is really kind of important, because there are a couple spiritual dangers, spiritual, I'd say, traps that we could find ourselves slipping into this summer if we're not careful. And so I can't wait to show you this. So let's go ahead and let's take a look at this series called Better Than Ever. Now, last week we shared a really important message. If you didn't have an opportunity to listen to that, I really encourage you to listen to it, especially the second part where we lay out our plan. And several of the things that we said that I just want to reiterate is, one, that our church never closed. It never closed because you can't close the church, because the church is not a service. The church is not a pastor. It's not an institution. It's not a way of doing spiritual rituals. The church is the people of God, loving Jesus, loving each other, and being salt and light in this world. And so we can't close you. The Holy Spirit is working in our church. And it really is powerful what the Holy Spirit is doing, even though we can't gather in large groups. Now, some of the other things we said last week is that we are not looking back. And again, I hope this is a point that you're starting to get to the point you're wrapping your heart and your mind around, because if you're still wanting to like go back and grab things the way they were before, listen, you're already setting yourself up for a difficult season, because things have changed and things are going to change. And so we as a church are looking forward. We're not saying, how can we get back to where we were? We're saying, okay, God, what have you got in front of us? What are the opportunities? What are the ways that you want us to be the Church of Jesus Christ in this time, in this season? And so we are not looking back. And one of the other big things we said, and this is important, is that you do not need to be in big church to be a great church. And you're really going to see that today, that I believe God's laid out a plan and a vision for us to be an alive, vibrant, dynamic church, particularly throughout this summer, even though for a season now, we're not going to be gathering in large groups. And so we will be back. to having large gatherings. Okay, we will be back to having large gatherings. But for a season, we will be better to, it'll be better for us to be at home in small and mid-sized family or community groups. And we are going to start showing you some of the things we have planned, some of the resources we're going to start bringing to the table to help you experience this in a powerful, life-changing way. Now, this is the point in the message. I want to talk to you about a couple dangers that you could slip into this summer that would actually not be good for you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or relationally. And this is actually true every summer, but it's especially true this summer. And the first danger is very simply this, that you park your faith. That you park your spiritual practices, you park your time with God, you park your interaction with other believers, you find yourself drifting from God. Now, again, you've heard me share this so many times. People who I know who are spiritual people don't run away from God when they find themselves far from God. They drift away from God, little by little. And this summer, it'd be very easy for you to do that. Now, the other danger I want to warn you about is thinking and not understanding that we are not supposed to be socially isolating. We're supposed to be socially distancing. So one is an issue of physical proximity and the 6 feet thing and all the good practices we're learning about how to keep everybody safe. But some of us are actually slipping into this thing of social isolating. That is to say, we're not leaving our house, we're not reaching out, and that would be a very bad thing. Listen, you are going to need the relationships in your life going forward, and particularly as we go into the fall. You are going to need Christ and the scriptures established in your life to face the challenges that we have in front of us. And so it would be very easy to just, you know, Netflix your way through the summer, just kind of do all kinds of activities and let your spiritual life drift. Don't do that. Now, again, last week we started looking at the early church in the book of Acts, and we talked about how when Jesus came, he said, "You will receive power." And we really emphasized that the same power that they received, we received. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to remind you, church, the Holy Spirit is in you. It's in you as an individual. It's in you when you meet in groups. It will teach you. It'll empower you. It has gifted you. It has called you. And so now is the time for us as the church to rediscover the power of the Holy Spirit. And we saw that the original church met in Jerusalem for years, and they met in such a way that they grew deep, and they became a powerful force that when they became scattered because of persecution, the people who had been invested in, when they were cut off from their building, and they were cut off from their leaders, and they were cut off from each other, wherever they scattered, those folks landed in places, and they shared the gospel, and communities and churches were started all over every place they went. Now, this week, I want to talk about what were the practices, what were the commitments that they did that empowered them to face the challenges when they found themselves scattered and when they found themselves looking like, man, the worst thing has happened, our church is done, we're done, when actually it was one of the best things that ever happened because God was going to start working through them, not just on them. And this is a really cool thing. And so let's look at the practices they did that made them into spiritually mature people. Look what it says about this church. It says, and they devoted themselves. And again, church, the danger of drift is very real. You've got to devote yourself to good spiritual practices. At the end of the message today, I'm going to have a spiritual challenge, a 40-day spiritual challenge for you that, man, it could change your whole summer. This could be the best summer of your life, spiritually speaking. In fact, I anticipate we will have more people spiritually engaged this summer than ever before in the life of our church. That's what I really believe the Spirit of God is getting ready to do. But it takes people saying, you know what? I'm going to devote myself to this. I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make the adjustments in my life. I'm going to pattern my life in such a way that I can devote myself to things that will help me know and become like Christ, that will help me be an agent for good, that will be the best version of myself, to be a person who makes the world a better place because I love Jesus and I want his name glorified in every corner of this earth. But it takes people who are willing to devote themselves. Now, they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together. And they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. Now, in a couple chapters later, it kind of just doubles down. Actually, this is still in chapter 2. He says, and day by day, attending the temple together, okay, so they met in large groups, and breaking bread in their homes, so they met in small groups, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so this was just an incredible thing. You see all the different commitments we're about to talk about, and I'll show you this in just a minute. Look what he goes on. And with great power, you see, great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so the people saw them giving their testimony, and later they're going to give their own testimony of Jesus Christ when they get scattered. And so it's that thing we're going to talk about and share. And so giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Remember, if you've been here at all, you know that we define grace as God's unmerited favor and his supernatural power. The grace we don't deserve, the power we don't deserve for transformation in our own life and transformation through our life. Here's the thing, church. A lot of you have been invested in for decades. People have taught you, they've equipped you, they've shepherded you, and an investment has been made in you. It's time now for you to become not just a person whom grace is given to, but grace flows through, that God would use you in ways you never thought were possible. Amazing things will happen. Not only will you grow much more than when you're just a recipient of ministry and God's grace, but also you will also see that you will be closer to God than you ever knew you could be when you do good things for others in his name. So what were these people committed to? They were committed to these things that we call the five commitments. These have been things we've been talking about for years. We've been teaching about you for years. We've been investing in you for years. And what are they? Well, the five commitments are a declaration that says we will devote ourselves to worship, belong, grow, serve, and share. Now, these are not just five random words that we picked out of a list of like 20. These are not just some ideas that we thought, man, this would make your life better. This is not some kind of self-help talk. We actually did a deep, in-depth study years and years ago, and we asked the questions, okay, if our church is really going to help people know and become like Jesus, what are the things that we must do in our life to know and become like Jesus? What are the things that if we do them in a regularly, routine, habitual way, in a non-legalistic way, in a non-abusive way, but in a healthy way, if we do the things, what are those things that will help us become like Jesus? And these are the five things. On the other side of it, if we don't do these things, if we park them, or if we kind of do what we do as Americans, say, I'll take 3 out of 5, or I'll take 4, but I'm going to hold a little bit on the serve. I'm not really into the worship or whatever your thing is. You know, if we don't do those things, listen now, this is so important. You can't become like Jesus. Because Jesus was defined by all of these. His followers were defined by these. And so these are things worth devoting yourself with. You cannot be like Jesus. You cannot really know Jesus if you're not willing to do these five things. And so this summer, we want to rediscover them. We want to deepen them. We want to do them again. And maybe for you, these are things you used to do that you've slipped out of. Let me just give you a warning. It's easy to drift, okay? Maybe for you, it's been, you know what? I was good at 1 and 2 and 3, but that fourth one was hard. Listen, all of us have one of these that is so easy, so natural, you know, and then there's others that we've got to strengthen and grow in. And so this is an intentional time for us to say, I'm going to make these again part of my intentional, aware life. I'm going to devote myself to these. And I want to do this by giving you a 40-day challenge. And so starting Monday, I want to ask you to say, for the next 40 days, right in the middle of summer, I'm going to make 5 commitments. And these are the commitments. The first one is this. 40-day commitment challenge. I will worship twice a week. I will worship twice a week. As you say, how can I worship if I can't go to church? Because church, building, location, service is not what I'm talking about. It could be something like you know, I'm going to worship on Sunday morning during the time that we ordinary worship, and I'm going to be on the platform, and that's what's going to be awesome. By the way, we're going to have the live platform on Sunday morning, but in the summer, we're also going to have it on Sunday night. So if you went to the lake for the weekend and you were getting back on Sunday night, you could watch online and you could connect and you could do the whole thing. But maybe for you, it's not going to be like that. Maybe for you, it's going to be, I'm going to maybe get to the service on Monday. The other thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be having midweek worship throughout the summer. So through social media, through our platforms, on our website, you're going to be able to click and you're going to be able to just hear worship. But it might be more fundamental for you than even that. It might just be, you know what, I'm going to take some time on my Wednesday or my Tuesday, and I'm going to listen to two or three of my favorite worship songs. I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm just going to let God speak to me, and I am going to return to God what he deserves. I'm going to give him thanksgiving. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to give him adoration. I'm going to tell him how beautiful he is. I'm going to let him remind me through worship who he is and who I am. But I am going to be devoted to worship simply because it's summer and because we can't gather and because a lot of us get busy with other things in the summer. God still deserves our worship. He still calls us to worship, and worship is still that incredible, same healing power that you and I need week in and week out. And so the commitment is twice a week, one time maybe using the Jacob's Well worship service, and then another time using, golly, a worship app or even reading the Psalms and choosing a Psalms like Psalms 150. I'm going to pray Psalms 150, which is all about just giving God praise. And I'm going to focus my attention of God because I am going to worship. I'm going to do it twice a week. I'm not going to just do it once a week. I'm going to do it twice a week. That's the first challenge. So the second challenge is this. I will belong by gathering meaningfully with other believers weekly in small and mid-sized groups. Now what this means is that you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to socially isolate. I have to socially distance, but I'm going to choose to be empowered by other believers who are also filled with the Holy Spirit. I recognize I can't do this alone. And again, it'd be just so easy to say, I don't want to make that happen, too much work, you know, whatever it is. But you need to make this happen. There's several resources we're going to bring to the table for you this season. The podcast, The School of Unlearning, that Joshua and I do, that is going to be all about this summer, equipping you to be in community life, particularly the first part of the summer, so that you can be a person who is saying, okay, I'm learning how to be in group. I'm learning how to be in community throughout the summer. It's also the case that you could do things like, it might not even be that formal of a Bible study group. It might be, I'm just going to have some friends over for a campfire once a week, or maybe twice a month, or a couple times through the summer. And you say, I don't have a place to have a campfire. One of the things we're doing here at Jacob's Well is we are creating four or five different locations on campus where you could call the office and say, hey, could I reserve a fire for this night? And then you can invite your group or your friends to come, and you can have a socially distanced fire here at Jacob's Well. Our health department just raised the number of people we can have in outdoor groups to 20. And so now we can have a significant group of people gathering, each family kind of gathering together in social distancing, but that's something you can do. One of the things that we're going to be able to do that we're very excited about is we're going to be able to shift our youth and children's ministry to some on-site experiences. You say, how are we going to be able to do that? Well, we're going to do it around bonfires. We're going to actually have youth group and children's groups focused on different nights of the week where the sixth graders may come one night and the third graders another and all this kind of stuff. We're going to do it so throughout the summer, there'll be times where your kids, your students will be able to look forward and say, I'm going to see my leaders. I'm going to see my youth pastors. I'm going to see my other friends. We're going to do it socially distanced. We're going to be very responsible. It's going to be a very cool thing, but opportunities for our kids to gather and our students to gather in community throughout the summer. So this is just one example of the sixth grade event that's coming up. You parents should watch for emails. You should check out the website. You should follow us on social media. By the way, if you haven't been getting our emails, do one of two things. One, check your junk folder to make sure they're not being sent as spam, because it's really important, powerful information in that. The other thing you should do is if you're not getting them, make sure you call the office and make sure we have your right information. So you're getting all the information of the dozens and dozens of tools and ministries and opportunities that we are creating for you this summer. This is just one example. Now, the other thing about Belong is that I'm going to call our groups to meet through the summer. Now, some of you may not be able to meet every week. Some of you may meet once a month. Some of you say, we ordinarily take summers off. This really is not the summer to take it off. This would be a summer to stay connected. We need each other. If you're not in a group, what I'm going to challenge you to do is to start a group. Now, hear me very closely, church. Do not wait for us to organize you or give you permission. Hey, I just gave you permission. Start a group. You say, how in the world am I supposed to do that? I'm not qualified for that. Well, you need really two things. You need the Holy Spirit, okay? And remember, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So if you're a believer, you've been given the Holy Spirit. And then you need like a Bible, okay? So those two things, and then the willingness to find a way to gather together, you can start meeting together. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is think about it like this. I want to gather, and I first got to figure out how I'm comfortable gathering. Now, some of you may say, I'm only comfortable on my Zoom groups. I'm not ready to get with people. Well, make your Zoom group happen. I know there's some limitations, and some of you may be feeling zoomed out, but it's so important you stay connected. Some of you say, well, I'm only comfortable with a small group of people, a small circle, and they're going to stay in a small circle, and maybe we'll just get together around a campfire. That's great. Maybe some of you are just comfortable with a campfire or a barbecue. Maybe some of you would have a watch party in your home with just a very small group, you know, less than 10 inside, about 20 outside of the current standards, the current rules, but we are going to figure out what we're comfortable with. And then we're going to plan the group. And so then you pray, God, okay, who you want me to invite to this group? And then I'm going to invite some folks to the group, maybe some believers, maybe some unbelievers. And then we're going to pray. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to use that thing that's designed for texting. We're actually going to call them because those are phones. They actually work to actually speak to people. And we're going to call them. And once we call them then, we're going to just plan what we're going to do. And it might just be, I'm just going to read a scripture, I'm just going to pray, or we might do a Bible study together. The church is going to be studying through the book of Galatians together, so you could study along with the church. You could go to Right Now Media. You could go online. Listen, you don't need us to spoon feed this to you. Some of you have been in church for decades, and you have been invested in. You have been ministered to. It's now time for you to stand up and say, because I'm devoted to the five commandments, I'm going to start having God serve through me. And I'm going to do this thing. Now, we are here for you. If you have problems, you have struggles, we'd like to know when you get organized. Send us your plan so that we can come alongside you. The podcast is going to be about equipping you for this. But we believe just as God worked through the scattered church in the book of Acts, He could work through you, church. And so we are making a commitment to Belong. Some of you, your level of comfort may be, you know, I'm just going to give it two other people. And it's going to just be a really small group. It's going to be one-on-one discipleship, that kind of stuff like that. But the point is, you can belong. You can organize yourself. We can come together in the most wonderful way. You can meet in a pavilion in a park. You can meet on your back deck. You can do a fire. I mean, you there's all kinds of opportunities for you to walk down by the river. You can make it a walking group. You could go for a bike ride. But you have to be devoted. And you have to say, God, what is it you want me to do? Now, the third commitment is wonderfully, I will grow through reading my Bible and praying every day. Now, I recognize it's summer, so I'm not talking about reading the whole Bible over the summer. I'm not talking about doing a ton, although you might do a ton. God might get a hold of your heart. But I'm talking about simply opening up your Bible and praying. Pray for me. Pray for the church. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the trauma that our country and our nation is in right now. Just pray. Pray for your family and just say, God, help us. And if you don't know how, you could use the prayer podcast that we have been using. You could use the app called Dwell, which actually reads the scripture, and you could just listen to the scripture. And it can be 5 minutes a day, and it can just recenter your life and your mind and your heart. But again, you would need to be devoted to it. You need to put it down on your calendar like it's an appointment that matters, that it's something that I'm called to do, something I'm devoted to, something I'm committed to do, but every day I'm going to be in the Word of God and I'm going to be reading. Maybe you read through the book of Galatians with the church this summer. Maybe you read through a gospel this summer. But again, don't wait for us to organize you or give you permission or to plan it for you. You need to be a person who at some point can feed yourself. I mean, we feed our babies and that makes sense. But if you're like 30 and you still need someone to feed you, pick up the spoon, okay? It's time to pick up the spoon. So that's the third commitment. The fourth commitment is this: I will serve my friends, family, coworkers, and community daily. Now, this is a mindset. This is an issue of the heart. It's not just volunteering to serve, although that's certainly part of it. But it is this thing that says, Jesus, you came to be a servant. In fact, the one name that you're known by most in the scriptures is the suffering servant, someone who put others ahead of them. And so I'm going to challenge you to embrace a servant mindset. You need to serve your neighborhoods and those elderly or those marginalized or those who have needs. You need to meet others' needs in your social circle, in your family. You need to be calling people and say, is there anything I can do to help you? You see a need, try to meet a need. And you have been doing this, by the way, church. This is one of the things I'm so excited about, is that the church hasn't been closed. Let me tell you some of the things that you have been doing. So many of you, you've been serving. You've picked up medication at pharmacies and you've delivered them to people and the elderly. You've called all the volunteers in the church and you mobilized them for service. You delivered masks. Many of you made masks. You're bringing masks to people's homes. You've purchased with your own money groceries and bought them to people in need. You've checked in on people who've requested some extra conversation and were feeling vulnerable and alone. Some of you are doing that every week. You've helped people actually move who are struggling in the middle of this pandemic. A group of you washed eggs that were donated to a food pantry, a whole giant pallet of eggs, and they needed someone to come and wash every eggs. Some of you did that. You volunteered at a food bank. You volunteer at places where they're cooking food and preparing food. You checked in on old friends and relatives. You drove people to the doctor who couldn't get there. You drove people to get groceries. You've called through our entire directory. We're on our way. We're getting close. We're not all the way there, but we're close. And you've just checked in and said, how are you doing? How can you help? I'm amazed at how many people said, I didn't even know we were online. I didn't even know what was going on, who we were able to connect with, because so many of you, people in our church, served. And so you served our church and you served the people of this community, both people who come to Jacob's Well and don't come to Jacob's Well. And those are just the ones I know of. Some of you are employers who are serving your employees by helping them in ways that we can't even begin to understand. Others of you are serving in ways that we haven't even begun to hear about, but the church is shining beautifully. The community, the health department has come to us and they've asked us for help. We're actually listed on the county website as a place people can go for help. And when they call, there's a group of you who have signed up to be volunteers to serve. And so many beautiful things are happening. So many beautiful things are happening because we are serving. And so the conscious effort is that I want to have a serve mindset this summer rather than hoarding or protecting myself or making this about me. I will find greater joy in serving. Now, the last commitment is share. I will share my faith in works and or actions with someone who needs Jesus 4 times over this 40 days. So every 10 days, I'm going to intentionally say, this is a person maybe I need to invite to listen to church with me, or I need to invite them to come to a campfire, or I need to meet a physical need for them and just let them know I do it because I love Jesus. Or this is a person I actually need to reach out and I need to tell my testimony to, and I need to tell them how they can have faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you know how to do that. Some of you may not know how to do that. But anytime you do a good thing in Jesus' name for the love of Jesus, you are sharing. You are helping people find what they desperately need, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus really lived, he really died, and he really rose from the dead. Well, the main theme in the book of Galatians, which we'll be studying this summer, is it's a book that is all about rediscovering the true, simple, pure gospel and not substituting it for any other gospel. So we're going to dig deep this summer, and you could learn, it could just sink in your heart in a way that it just be naturally shared in your life just wonderfully. So these are the five commitments. And so I want to talk to you about this in terms of next steps. Here are some next steps I want you to take this week, okay? First next step is if you haven't watched the update from last week, go to the website, go to the social media platform, go to the email that you're going to find in your junk spam folder, okay? Not only listen to it, but share it with others. There are other people in the church who you know haven't heard it. Send it to them so that everybody knows why we're doing what we're doing and how we're seeking to follow the Spirit this summer. The second thing I want to let you know is I want to challenge you is take the 40-day challenge. And then I want to encourage you to figure out how podcasts work on your phone, on your email, and listen to the School of Unlearning. If you're not sure, you can go to the webpage and click there. It'll show you how to do that. And so use the podcast, use the tool. Now, this is what I want to let you know about. This is an opportunity for us to both serve and to share. Serve our community and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So on June 14th, we are going to have a service on the Jacob's Well campus. You say, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have a drive-up service. And so what that's going to look like is you're going to be able to drive up on the campus, and there are going to be staff here, and there are going to be volunteers here, and we're going to be celebrating. But the idea is that you'll drive through, and we're going to do some things to honor our graduates. We're going to create just some worship experience. But you'll be able to drive in, and what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to have in your trunk some things that are needed by some of our share partners. And then as you drive up, you'll be able to pop your trunk, and we'll be able to take those things out. For instance, we're going to be collecting food for a local food bank. We're going to be collecting things like diapers for Forgotten Initiative. We're going to be collecting things like toiletries for the Hope Gospel Mission and other things like that. And we're going to send out, email, post the list of different things that are needed for the prison ministry, all kinds of things like that. And we're going to ask you to come and to donate them. And so this is going to be a very cool service. And so I need you to make a commitment, be devoted, come to this, okay, and share it. Let people know, invite people to it, so that we can just say to this community that we as your church, we're not closed. We're not having big services for the good of everyone, but we are alive, we are vibrant, we are the church of Jesus Christ, and I just cannot wait to see all that God is going to do. Let's have a prayer together. Father, we need you. We need you to just continue to do what you're doing. Pour out your Spirit on your sons and daughters. You said we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. We believe that. We claim that. And Father, we just ask you to fan into flame. Father, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of people just right now. People who never thought they could lead a group. Or people who never thought that they could have a ministry. Or people who never thought that they could feed themselves spiritually. And I would pray you would just speak to them that when they do that, they're not putting trust and confidence in themselves. They're putting trust and confidence in you, the Spirit of God that is in them. And so because you are in them, you can do incredible things through them. Father, help the Church of Jesus Christ to come alive in ways we never thought possible and do it all for your glory so that this community is drawn towards you and salvation is found by hundreds and even thousands of people as we lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen.